This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The feeling is that Khalil Mack could be available out there to a number of NFL teams. And in fact, that's where I want to start with my next guest, who is a former sports agent. He is great when it comes to NFL contracts and the salary cap. And this time of year, even though football, actual football, is starting up, this is a year-round topic, the salary cap, free agency, trying to get guys onto contract extensions, and at this juncture of the season, holdouts as well, including Khalil Mack. Great to be joined right now. You can get him on Twitter, at Corey Joel, and you can get all his stuff at CBSSports.com. Joel Corey joining me right now on CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Joel, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm doing awesome, doing awesome. Football is here, and couldn't be better. And I actually want to circle back to a piece that you had up on CBSSports.com a few days ago. Talked about it on my local show, and I brought it up a couple times tonight. And the title is How a Potential Khalil Mack Trade Might Work and Five Landing Spots. And my take on the piece, Joel, which is a very well-written, really good piece, is the fact that a piece like this exists and everybody's taking it, you know, like with a straight face going, yeah, he could wind up at these places, seems to me to be an indicator of just how badly the Raiders are butchering this situation. What say you on that?
Well, I haven't seen a situation where you have a completely healthy star player in a contract year that doesn't have character issues where a team just doesn't negotiate with them. That is unusual. So that kind of leads me to believe that maybe John Gruden, an offensive guy, doesn't value a superstar level defensive player the way that a lot of other teams would. Just that whole dynamic of not negotiating, it's kind of made me wonder, could he end up someplace else?
What's so weird about that is that specifically, we'll get into the destinations in just a second, but what's so weird about the non-negotiation, or maybe trying to weigh the offense and the defensive part of it, is that I could see sometimes with a defensive player where it's a little bit harder to measure their impact, a 3-4 defensive end, or, you know, maybe a defensive back who's not piling up big numbers and causing turnovers, but they're sort of a fulcrum of a secondary, or an inside linebacker where the only stat is tackles. But Khalil Mack is a guy who has filled up the stat sheet at those high-impact type of plays, Joel. It's really odd to me. From an agent standpoint, I know sometimes those stats come into play when contract negotiation times come around. Is it as strange to you about that aspect of it as well?
Yeah, because typically, Bill Belichick aside, because he does things differently with New England,
yep,
you're going to pay a quarterback first, and you're going to pay the guy who can put extreme pressure on a quarterback next, no matter where he plays, 3-4 outside linebacker, interior defensive lineman, or 4-3 defensive end. Edge rushers go first if a quarterback doesn't go more often than the other position. So the fact that they don't seem to have the appropriate appreciation for Khalil Mack is a bit bizarre to me.
Yeah, it's very strange. And I want to talk about your five landing spots. Before we get into that, what do you think a Khalil Mack trade would look like in terms of the return? What would the Raiders, do you think, get in return, whether it's draft capital, whether it's a player? Give me a hypothetical as to what you think a Khalil Mack trade might look like.
Well, you're not going to get a Herschel Walker-like haul because that doesn't happen anymore. The closest analogy I could draw would be a defensive end about 10 years ago who got traded as a franchise player, Jared Allen. Mm-hmm. He went for a first-round pick, a mid-first-round pick, and 2/3. That's probably somewhere along there. You throw a quality player in there, that's going to lessen the draft pick compensation. And also how high the first is determines everything else. If you're talking a top first, then it's going to be a later pick. If you're talking a low first, then you may have to throw another high pick in there as well.
How much control does Khalil Mack have in this situation, and I equate it to a guy like Kawhi Leonard in the NBA who has 1 year left on his deal, is going to sign a big extension at some point. How much say does he have, or is some of it with some of these destinations you have, is it going to be down, up to a team maybe to be willing to kind of play rent a player for a year and try and convince him to stay? What's his level of control in this situation?
No, you'd be crazy to play rent a player, because what should happen is if they get to the point where they are going to trade him, that you give the agent permission to start negotiating a contract with the new club first. Because you want to have that piece in place. You don't want to go into, we're renting him for a year, franchising him, because they already have a problem with him playing on a contract as is. But sometimes you get traded, you're more willing to play on your existing contract than you would for your own team. That was Dwayne Brown last year. So you're probably going to get a contract done at the same time that you do a deal, or at least have an agreement in principle or discuss parameters. But if there's some place he doesn't want to go, then he can just say, I'm not going to sign a contract with you. And then the team has to decide, do I want to play the franchise tag game with him or not? So he has a little bit of control in that situation, but it's not like an NBA player.
No, and I guess what made me think of that, as I was looking at your five teams in the article, one of them is Buffalo, and I'm going, God, who would greenlight a trade to Buffalo? And then I remember Khalil Mack went to the University of Buffalo. So that one actually makes a bit of sense. Joel Corey, CBSSports.com, former agent, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. To the other big holdout, Joel, and that's Aaron Donald. What's the biggest holdup, do you think, in the Aaron Donald situation with the Rams?
Well, it's interesting to look at the contrast between the two situations, that they have had ongoing talks seemingly forever. They now say they're in the same zip code, as opposed to Khalil Mack, where there's no negotiation, at least to our knowledge. From what I understand, that both these guys, and Donald in particular, since they are negotiating, wants to restore the balance between where quarterback salaries have gone and where the top non-quarterbacks have been since the CBA was put into place 2011. To do that, you're going to have to pay him $23, $24 million per year, which is approaching strong quarterback money, with $80, $85 million guarantees and over $60 fully guaranteed at signing. I call that sticker shock.
Yeah. How much concern do you think there might be, Joel, over the position that Aaron Donald plays? And what I mean is not so much the impact that he has from that position, because he's as impactful an interior defensive lineman as we've seen in the last 20 years. But the fact that, and maybe I've got kind of PTSD from being in Houston with J.J. Watt, but J.J. Watt signs that big contract, and then the next season his body starts breaking down because he plays 95% of the snaps and he's wrestling bears on every single down. Aaron Donald plays a lot of snaps for the Rams, and he's wrestling bears and getting double-teamed on every single down. How much do you think maybe concern could factor in over the position that he plays and how his game might age over the course of what you just outlined is going to be a very expensive deal when it comes down?
I don't really think that's a big concern. I liken him to a player that I helped represent years ago. He's the closest thing to a modern-day John Randall. Helped make John Randall the highest-paid defensive player in the NFL about 20 years ago when he was a transition player. One thing they have in common, undersized interior defensive linemen who put extreme pressure on quarterbacks. If you're going to pay John Randall, which he did get paid, you should pay Aaron Donald.
Yeah, absolutely. Joel Corey joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of the Texans, Jadeveon Clowney, part of that draft class as well. Not as much smoke or fire around his contract situation, mostly because he's not holding out. He's in camp. But it looks like he's going to play this thing out on a fifth-year option, and then we'll see if the Texans use the franchise tag. Just your general thoughts on Clowney and the handling of his situation right now.
Oh, I understand that one. He was injured the first 2 years. He had surgery this offseason. If the J.J. Watt injury concern is going to affect anything, it's going to be this situation, because Watt was healthy, then started breaking down. This guy has had injury concerns for practically every year. So I understand the hesitation in paying Jadeveon Clowney. Now, the flip side of that is if he stays healthy, has a career year, and you have one of these two guys, presumably Donald over Matt, get a new deal, then you're going to have to pay him in that same stratosphere, because the longer you wait to pay a good, healthy player, the more it's going to cost in the long run. But I don't consider this anything remotely close to the Khalil Mack situation, because this guy's had injury concerns.
No question about that. We even said it here locally, Joel, when his name would get brought up with Mac and Donald, is Clowney's the clear number three in that whole thing, largely because of the medical stuff. But just a general question, because we've brought up the franchise tag a couple of times now. As someone who now kind of analyzes the contract game and the free agency game, do you allow your mind to wander to a world, and I know it's probably not going to happen, you know, at least it won't happen until the next CBA at the very earliest, but man, what would a world look like, a free agency world look like in the NFL without the franchise tag?
Oh, that's never going to happen.
I know, but it's fun to think about.
Oh, what would happen is, I think a couple of years ago, you would have seen, more than a couple of years ago now, Demaryius Thomas and Dez Bryant end up getting contracts which exceeded Calvin Johnson's contract, which is slightly over $16 million a year and $50 million in guarantees, if they didn't have the franchise tag looming over them in 2015, which in turn would have raised the bar for Julio Jones and A.J. Green, who did deals slightly after they did. One thing which doesn't get appreciated is the fact that when they changed the methodology for franchise tags with the new CBA, for at least the non-exclusive ones, it's no longer the average of the top five guys from the previous year. It's now over a five-year period and tied to a percentage of the cap. On average, the cap numbers now, the franchise tag numbers, are higher than they would have been under the old methodology. But still, it does depress salaries at certain positions. For a guy like Le'Veon Bell, the franchise tag has had no relation to the market, so it's been a boon for him. But for an edge rusher, it doesn't necessarily do you justice. I think you're going to see more guys take the Kirk Cousins, Tremaine Johnson approach, embrace the franchise tag, and then if they can stay healthy on 2 years of it, if it gets to that point, then break the bank in the open market.
Yeah, I guess just as somebody who's I'm entertained by the offseason, you know, I compare it to the NBA. It's, you know, no franchise tag. Boy, can you imagine? We'd actually see quarterbacks changing teams, maybe. I feel like the franchise tag, purely from a player movement standpoint, kind of waters things down. It would just make it a lot more interesting.
It would make the decisions of people in contract years more interesting. You would have teams putting more of their best foot forward. Let's say right now if the Raiders couldn't franchise Khalil Mack, they would have traded him already, or he'd have a new deal.
Yep.
Because you wouldn't want to have him leave for the max compensation being a compensatory pick at the bottom of the third round a year later. So it would change that dynamic dramatically.
Yeah, absolutely. Joel Corey joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Joel, how do you think Tampa Bay winds up handling Jameis Winston from a contractual standpoint over the next year or two?
Well, if he doesn't play well, they're not going to keep that option in place. They're going to let that go. He's already on thin ice.
Yep.
I'd go year to year with him because I can't trust him as a person. He hasn't really progressed the way you'd want him to. Neither has Marcus Mariota. The two of them don't quite look like franchise quarterbacks yet. So I'd make him play on the option and then decide what to do from there. And also probably use a draft pick to have another quarterback in place just in case he hasn't learned his lesson yet or doesn't live up to being the number one pick.
And what do you think Aaron Rodgers' contract ultimately looks like if they get something done here in the next few weeks?
Well, if it gets done, I don't anticipate it having one of those opt-out provisions that hit sole control, which he supposedly wants. It'll be anywhere between probably $32 and $35 million a year, probably set new standards for guarantees, even though Green Bay is a little bit different for most of the contracts, with Rodgers being the exception. They're light on guarantees. That's probably where it'll be. And then you'll see next year if he gets a contract extension, Russell Wilson surpass him.
Yeah, there you go. Joel Corey joining me here on CBS Sports Radio. He's a former sports agent. You can get him on Twitter at Corey Joel, C-O-R-R-Y, Joel, on Twitter. And definitely read his stuff on CBSSports.com. If you are into the business side of the NFL, he's one of the best when it comes to analyzing and breaking that all down. Hey, Joel, really appreciate you making time on a Sunday evening. Thank you very much. That was fun.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.